All right. Almost forgot to unmute.
Yeah.
Which probably would have made a better episode if I had stayed muted.
No, I was going to say it'd probably be the best episode ever.
We nailed it, but we forgot to hit record.
Yeah, yeah. It'd been the one that put us on the map.
All right, so we've got a pretty good bit to cover today, so we'll jump right in here. I guess I won't mention his name, our brother that posted this Facebook.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we'll go ahead and mention it. I don't think he'll care, because we're going to have him. I'm hoping he's going to come in and sit with us.
Yes.
Soon on an episode, but
we've called him out.
Yeah, we did. So we're just gonna really call him out now. But Greg Triplett is the worship leader here at Christ Reformed Church, and just a brilliant, godly man that I just love talking to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's Reformed.
Yes,
because he comes to Christ Reformed Church. Now, you don't have to be Reformed to come here, but you.
He's an actual member.
Yeah, he is a member here, worship leader, and a brother that, I think we see eye to eye just about on everything.
Yeah,
which is a rarity.
And I love everything. He always sends a group text between the three of us. He's always spot on with it. Some of the stuff he sends just like makes me want to slam my head in the wall because it's terrible stuff, but it's
anybody happening. That's got the five solas tattooed on their forearm, that there you go.
Yeah.
But let me brag just a little bit more about him.
Go for it. He deserves it.
Sometimes. No.
Except for when he sings.
Yeah, so Greg, he's got a tremendous voice, so just so I put that out there. But what I really appreciate about Greg is the time that he spends when it comes to selecting the songs.
Mm-hmm.
He sits down, he goes through the theology, understands how important it is for not only the sermon to be theologically sound, but also when we're worshiping, when we're praising God as a church by singing out loud, that the very words that we are singing are theologically sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate him for the work that he puts in. And then look, I'm going to throw out Amy. Amy's awesome too.
Yep.
She's up there with Greg. Just has a angelic voice,
she don't pick out the songs.
Well, you know what? I think she'd do a fantastic job, even if she did.
She would.
Yeah,
she would.
The only thing I really don't brag that much about her out in public, because the last time I did that, she's a very humble young lady, and she struck me the last time. I said, you know, that was just beautiful in front of everyone, and actually, you know, the church kind of gave it an applause, and. Yeah, she made me pay for it. Didn't see it coming. She hit me with a right hook, and I was...
It's stout.
Yeah, she looked at me, and she's like, never again. I said, all right, gotcha. From now on, I'm going to tell everybody how awful you are. And then we got Miss Vicky on the piano, and man, she is a godsend in and of herself, and how she can just sit down and play those keys like it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a wonderful group. But saying all that to get back to this, Greg Triplett hopefully is going to be joining us soon in this sweat box that we are sitting in. We ought to name this place the Spider Den.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because you walk in here and flick the lights on, sometimes there'll just be a creature hanging out waiting on you.
And we're not able to identify what... species. Well, we know it's a spider.
Yeah, yeah.
We just don't know what, like, origin.
Yeah, our luck, we're just surrounded by a bunch of brown recluses. Yeah.
Well, it's nice and warm in here.
Right, yeah. It's the perfect den for them. So we're recording from the Spider Den in the back room of Christ Reformed Church.
If Greg wants to be on the show, though, he's got to bring like a fan and some mist bottles.
That'd be great.
He's got to work while he's here.
This is a work-based show. but anyway, back to... So, Greg, man, that was a rambling of absolute...
We love you, Greg.
Yeah, thanks. And Amy and Vicky. y'all do a tremendous job in leading the church in sound theological worship music. So no Hillsong or Jesus culture here.
Amen.
Right on. So what was it that Greg sent?
Well, he posted. Yeah, he posted it on Facebook, and unfortunately, I saw it, and it just struck a nerve hard with me. It's a undercover video in New Jersey where this man and woman are undercover, and they go to a Planned Parenthood clinic and meet with this woman, and she's basically aiding them with child sex trafficking by explaining to them how to bring these young girls in for abortions. I mean, these are like they don't go, they'll do a 14-year-old girl abortion, but there's, you know, you got to go through a you know, you got to lie.
Okay,
basically.
Wait. All right, so let me just make sure I'm tracking with you here. So this couple goes into a Planned Parenthood. They have a made-up story about these girls that are in the sex trafficking industry.
Yeah, they explain them as prostitutes.
Okay.
Underage prostitutes.
So underage prostitutes that have gotten pregnant, and they're wanting to... So they're acting as if almost they're like they're pimps.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're wanting to... The story they're telling is to bring in these underage prostitutes to have an abortion so they continue... So that they can continue, or they can continue to work in the prostitution realm.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, this is a video. They have the woman on video. Unfortunately, we're a poor podcast. We don't have video feed yet. So if you want to see this, if you're friends with Greg Triplett, just look him up on Facebook. It's on his page.
If not, ask him. Just hit him up for a friend request.
That's right.
Greg Triplett, TRIPLETT.
And you would want to be his friend.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's play this video. Be prepared to be majorly angry. But I'm so thankful that Greg posted this, because this just goes to show, I mean, this is an inside look at how terrible Planned Parenthood is. And remember, the United States government donates millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood.
It's like $500 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that with the budget?
Yep. So
it's our tax dollars at work.
Exactly. So let's roll through this. It's a couple of minutes. I'm going to let it play all the way through.
Right on. Okay.
So here we go.
We're involved in sex work. All right. Some of them are young. They're kind of like something like 15, 14.
Minors are always accepted without parental consent.
Okay.
The only thing that you do have to be careful is if they are a minor, we are obligated, if we hear any certain information, kind of report. 14 and under, we have to report.
14 and under. That includes being 14, right?
Yeah, okay. 14, you know, once they get to 15, then there's a little bit more playroom. So as long as they just lie and say, oh, he's 15, 16, you know, as long as they don't say 14, and as long as it's not too much of an age gap, then we just kind of like... Then we just kind of play.
What if they do say they're 14?
You never got this from me. Just to make all of our lives easier.
Okay.
If they're 14 and under, just send them right there if they need an abortion. Okay. Here's the thing, too. If they're minors, just tell them to put down that they're students.
Students?
Yeah, just kind of play along that they're students. We want to make it look as legit as possible.
Yeah.
This is actually just the minor's rights. This way you guys have a copy of this.
Oh, good. And,
so
and
you already kind of know before you get into any situation, like, oh, all right.
If it comes down that they do need an abortion, how long till they can be sexually active again?
Minimum 2 weeks.
Minimum 2 weeks.
Mm. Minimum 2 weeks.
Do you maybe have any suggestions about what else they could do in the time? Because...
I mean, they still got money, you know?
Yeah. Waste up.
Okay.
Or just be that extra action walking by. We'll work something out, but then I can take care of your girls.
Thank you so much. All
right.
Not a problem.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Okay. So that was a man and woman undercover at a Planned Parenthood clinic in New Jersey. And this lady basically was just telling them everything under the table that the Planned Parenthood clinic would do. Oh, just tell them, just say they're a student. If they're a minor, put down they're a student. Not that they're a prostitute being forced into sex slave or young girl being forced into prostitution. So, and notice she even said at one point, what if they are 14? Well, if they're 14 and under, she takes out a piece of paper and circles the address and says, take them here. Planned Parenthood won't do it, but I know somebody that will, basically.
So, I just pulled up Psalm 139, 13 through 16, and it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So, what America is doing and what America has approved of is killing babies that God has created.
Oh, but let me play the advocate of the other side on that statement right there. What about a woman that was raped? Why would God do that?
Yeah, so then I would go to, you're talking about what, 1%, 0.8 percent of abortion cases. So let's not go into the minority to remove the majority of abortions that are taking place. And even then, this is what I would say, you know, that's horrendous.
Yeah.
What took place was horrendous. We live in this wicked, fallen world, and I'm so sorry that you had to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
But terminating that child is not the right thing to do. You have an option. Killing that child should not be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an option in giving birth to that baby, putting it up for adoption, giving birth to that baby, and raising that child, loving that child. Those are the two options. Those are the two biblical options right there.
Mm-hmm.
And even biblically speaking, probably the whole adoption thing. Look, that would be a route to go more so than ever thinking about killing that gift that God has given you.
But I was raped. Why? How is that a gift?
And then again, I would go back to, I do not know the reason for that rape. Do not know that reason.
Mm-hmm.
However, you have a human life growing inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift from God.
Yeah.
And the same thing to let's move from the rape scenario. What about a 14 or 15 year old girl that's sexually active and she gets pregnant? I would say the exact same thing. The option to murder that child? No.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
So, rape, incest, the mother may very well die from giving birth. You know, I believe in a sovereign God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he decrees, whatever he ordains is going to come to pass. But I would never take the life of a baby. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, say Leah, and we had a conversation about this, my wife, Leah. I say it like,
we all know Leah.
Right, right.
Everybody knows, yeah, Leah.
All five people that listen know Leah. So, you know, we had a conversation about, you know, if she were to become pregnant and there's complications that are taking place, and they give us the option, you know, the child or you, what are we going to do? We're going to go through with a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray that both of them make it out just fine. Okay. But to know that even if that's not the case, if they don't both make it out, or if neither one of them makes it out, then, you know, I serve a God who is in full control. I serve a God who is loving and just, but is also jealous, is wrathful. So he's all these characteristics, but at the same time, he's God and I'm not. So who am I to ever question the Creator? I'm mm-hmm. just the created.
Yeah.
And not only am I the created, but I'm also the one that rebelled against the Creator. And yet, he is the Holy of Holies. So again, who am I, the wicked, to question the Holy of Holies?
Yeah. And what amazes me, man, is I've heard it all, you know. Well, what if the child is going to be mentally retarded or just, you know, physically handicapped, Down syndrome, you know? That was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason why. I mean, so your argument would be, or not you, Britt,
right,
but
right.
The argument for a pro-life person, or a pro-choice, I'm sorry. You know, they want to break things down to rape, mental or physical disabilities, and things like that. So, I mean, if you look at the number of abortions every year, it's genocide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
So why don't we just cut out the middleman? And if somebody shouldn't be born because they have a mental or physical disability, hey, go kill them.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Get rid of them. Let's go on a purge for mental and physical deformed human beings, because they are not worthy to live.
Yeah. And you know, of course, then I would say, yeah, we're just playing God.
Exactly.
You know, so let me go to two more scripture verses. One's
please.
Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And him speaking specifically to Jeremiah says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So he knew Jeremiah before he was even formed. And that's, God knows every human before they're even born, before they're even a twinkle in their mommy and daddy's eyes, before the foundation of the world, God mm-hmm. knew every human being that was going to be put here on this earth. If you go to Psalm 127:3-5, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So you just, you see all these scripture verses about how God put them together, how God knew them before the foundation of the world, how God knew those little babies, and that they are rewards for, you know, that family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have these videos that seem to just keep popping up with Planned Parenthood, and it's absolutely horrendous. And I don't want to get political because I'm so sick of politics, but
I'm with you.
So you got the Democratic Party who's for women's choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the same Democratic Party who also states that, you know, illegal immigrants should just be allowed here in the U.S. regardless. Just break that law. Come on in, because they're running from some type of horrific, you know, events that are taking place in their homeland, their hometowns, their cities, whatever the case may be. And yet the same party that's calling for the rights of these illegal immigrants are calling for the deaths of these innocent babies.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't make any sense. I think we see the illogical train of thought that's really taking place today. And then I'm not just saying from the left. I mean, it's on the right also. It's It's almost as if we're going to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, yeah. And, you know, people want to talk about the end days are coming and this and that. Brother, we're already living in it.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, it's... And I'm not speaking metaphorically. I mean, we are in the thousand-year reign of Christ.
Well, you sound like an amillennialist there.
But I'm not saying that it's literally a thousand years. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, keep going with that amill thing there. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, man. I do believe that ever since Christ ascended into heaven, that the end days have been upon us. And when he does talk about a thousand years, I don't think he's being specific, because that appears in apocalyptic writing, to where numbers aren't necessarily literal. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of given us this figurative language, and to understand a thousand years is a long time.
Yeah.
So the end days, it's going to be a long period of time. And you're right, brother. We're there. I mean, when we are offering babies up to false gods, namely our God, our false God, whose name is narcissism, mm-hmm. whose name is selfishness.
Entitlement.
Yeah, God hater.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we're doing.
That's really what's taken over the world, is entitlement. We are entitled to whatever our feelings are. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, we're just these... And have been since that fruit was plucked from the tree that God specifically said not to eat from. You see what we truly are, these narcissistic little monsters that want to be God-like.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are trying to be God-like by taking the lives of millions upon millions of babies. Mm-hmm. And now we are funding... With our tax dollars funding these sacrifices, these poor babies' lives to this false god known as, narcissism.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't gone on a rant since like episode 3, but I'm not going to on this tonight, because we've got other stuff to get to. But I just want to say, I know that my mindset is completely different from the people that believe in choice, pro-choice, when it comes to abortion. I just don't get it, man. I don't get any of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing in what you just said there, because the only way, I shouldn't say the only way. I think what we're seeing in America, and really all over the world, with people who can take a baby, and for some, it doesn't matter what trimester they're in.
Mm-mm, no.
If it's a partial birth abortion, they would be fine with it.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, I'm actually wondering if a lot of the pro-choice folks have gotten to the point to where their heart has been hardened like Pharaoh's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, God can do a work. It doesn't matter, who the person is. He can do a work. But, we're going through Exodus right now. So that kind of just pops in my head. Sitting there listening to that video, listening to this woman prep these people on how to lie so that they can take a life.
Yeah.
And this is what you do day in and day out. And then you go home, you eat a meal, you tuck your children in at night, you brush your teeth, and you go to bed.
Yeah.
And then you go up, and then you get up the next morning, and you start the killing machine all over again.
All over again, like it's nothing. You know what we should do, what this country should do, is let all the pro-choice people... they have no choice but to go out and murder anyone born out of a rape, anyone that was born mentally or physically disabled. Go out and do it. Let's see how many people can justify doing that. The only because thing, you're doing the same thing just at the beginning of the process.
Well, Jeff, the only problem is they would say then it wouldn't be a choice.
Exactly.
They're being forced to do something.
Just they like, know it's wrong, man.
Yeah, just like we would be forcing people who want to have abortions not to have abortions if really the if this were a Christian nation, which we won't get started on that. I think it was based on Christian principles, but Christian nation, I wouldn't go there. And especially not now. I think we've gotten, I think we're probably about as pagan as we ever have been.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
All right. Well, let me close this door so we can get into the main subject. The abortion thing was kind of just thrown in last minute because of the video that we saw from Greg. But you've got some important stuff to dive into here, so
I hope so, and I hope it's not like me throwing oatmeal up against the wall and seeing what sticks. So and let me do this. So last week, and we're doing it again this week. We're recording around, I don't know when we start, about 8:20. So we're doing it at night. I'm not making any excuses, but man, I messed up on a word last week, and I want to apologize.
Shame.
I know. I used the word reprobation when I meant to use the word reparation. So I apologize for that mess up there. When I said reprobation, I sat there and I was like, God, that doesn't sound right. But they're like, reprobation.
Okay, that just gave us our first Sonic Reformation contest. Well, no, because you already called out what it was. I was going to say,
sorry, yeah.
If somebody can find the one word Britt made a mistake on, you'll get a high five from us.
So here's the problem. There's probably about 450, because this is episode number 31, right?
Yeah.
All
I'd right. say if anybody messes up on words, it's probably me more than you.
No, man. I caught that. When I heard it, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Well, what's bad is I'll listen back and I don't catch mine.
Oh, man. Well, it's because yours aren't obvious. All right. So, So Jeff, you know this about me. I grew up in the SBC from the time
Long Beach. Sorry.
Yeah. So when I say SBC, Southern Baptist Church. Now I know that all Southern Baptist churches are autonomous. They are freestanding. I get that. The only problem is this message that's kind of been sent out over the, I don't know, past 10 years or so, is with the SBC, the Southern Baptist Church, there is a thing known as the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's when the Southern Baptist churches will go and meet. And at the Southern Baptist Convention, there is a Southern Baptist president. So here's where I think the confusion kind of comes in.
Wait.
Yep.
This was last week, right?
What's that?
What you're leading into right here? We talked about last week?
Yeah, talked about last week, but also the Southern Baptist Convention is taking place now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of building up. So if you're bored, fast forward a little bit. But anyway, I'm building up into this. So even though every Southern Baptist church is autonomous, yet they still are part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So they pay a certain amount of money for fees and blah, blah, blah. But this is what's so confusing. So you're autonomous, yet you have a president.
Right.
Now, apparently they say, you know, the president has no power. So it's kind of like the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Then why do we call him president? Why don't we just call him the Southern Baptist head cheerleader?
Yeah.
But it's these types of official titles that are given to these men. It's the Southern Baptist Convention having a convention where Southern Baptist churches all come to find out what is taking place in the SBC.
Yeah.
So you can say autonomy all you want, but that's not what's being sold. That's not how this appears.
Yeah.
because if you're autonomous, you're not going to need a president. But I digress. So they just elected a new president. And we talked about J.D. Greer.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Greer is what we would call a neo-Calvinist, which isn't traditional. Now, I do believe he is a brother in Christ, but I would not go to a neo-Calvinist church, that being the new Calvinist. The new Calvinists are continuationist. Mm-hmm. They do not believe that. They'll say they believe in sola scriptura, like in scripture alone. That's all they need. That's all the information they need about God and is what he has provided for us in his word. They say that, yet they still believe in prophecy, visions and dreams, God speaking to them audibly.
Which is totally the complete opposite of sola scriptura.
Correct. So that's J.D. Greer. And a lot of folks were all stoked because, you know, J.D. Greer claims to be a Calvinist, even though if we go by the traditional Calvinist definition, you, sir, are no Calvinist. And here's the other thing that's really kind of kooky about the new Calvinists is when it comes to ecclesiology and that being how the church functions. When it comes to these neo-Calvinists, a lot of them, it's pretty much whatever works to bring people in the church is what we're going to do. So I think J.D. Greer has 11 campuses where he is projected in on a big screen. So he's not a church planter in the sense of Paul planting a church, having an elder, a teaching elder who preaches and teaches, and then other elders to help with overseeing the church. No, J.D. Greer is a brand name that I guess believes the church can't function without his face being on the screen.
Yeah.
So even the new Calvinists, their ecclesiology is jacked up. So I'm not a fan of J.D. Greer. And look, we're not SBC. The Christ Reformed Church is. Now we would fall into the Baptist category, but we're not a part of the SBC. We're not part of the Baptist Association. However, it's just here I grew up in this, and it's almost like you can see it starting to lean to the left. Mm-hmm. So with J.D. Greer, is heavy on the whole social justice ordeal. What J.D. Greer says that he wants to see is more color in the higher up leadership positions in the SBC. Again, if the Southern Baptist Church is autonomous, and yet he's calling for more color in the leadership positions when it comes to the convention, church leadership. So I'm like, how autonomous can you be if you got the president now saying he wants to see color in leadership positions? So, you know, there's a scripture verse where it talks about when coming to Christ, and I'm paraphrasing, there's no Jews, there's no Gentiles, there's no slaves, there's no masters. And yet, why do we keep bringing up this color issue, like J.D. Greer and what he's talking about? There's another gentleman by the name of who's a Southern Baptist pastor, Dwight McKessick, and Dwight is starting to push for Beth Moore to be the next SBC president.
It would not surprise me if that happens.
It wouldn't me either. So some people would say, yeah, but that's just the convention.
No.
And what I would say is, but it has been turned into a spiritual leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're saying that this is the president over the SBC.
Yeah, I mean, this is almost like the Pope of the Baptist.
That's kind of what it's starting to look like a little bit.
Right.
Which, and so this has taken place. Something else that happened this week at the Southern Baptist Convention, Russell Moore and Beth Moore, no relation, sitting up in this hall, and they're having a conversation on women not being looked at or looked over for leadership roles. And they'll speak out of both sides of their mouth, because one of the things that they'll end up saying is, no, we're not talking about pastoral roles, but leadership roles. Well, let's be more specific in what we're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't just say that women are being looked over. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What role are you looking for them to hold? That's an issue. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just lay out this broad stroke statement without being specific. Because if there's certain things taking place that they are being looked over, then you should have bullet points on these issues, and let's talk about them. Because there's no reason why a woman should be looked over for a role that they can be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they can be a deaconess. They can help. They can be a servant of the church. I don't have a problem with them teaching the younger kids. And if you want to have a female Bible study, I'm not a fan of it, of a woman teaching a female Bible study, but okay. But other than that, you're not going to have an elder that's a female.
Yeah.
Scripture speaks directly against that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have a woman hold a position that they have authority over men.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's this somehow Me Too movement growing in the SBC, be specific before you make these type of broad statements.
Yeah.
So now we talked about abortion, and now we're going, I'm going to, there's this gentleman, and I do not see his name. Oh, his name is Nathan Rager. I think that's his name. Now he's going to talk about Russell Moore, and Russell Moore is the main guy when it comes to the ERLC. Now, the ERLC stands for this, and it's a Southern Baptist thing, and it started around 1988, and they got 25 employees. But it's the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. So the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is the public policy arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest non-Catholic Christian denomination in the United States, with over 16 million members in over 43,000 independent churches. Notice how it says that, autonomous, independent. Mm-hmm. And yet we have a guy leading up the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for who? For the Southern Baptist. And this guy, man, this guy, information comes out about him that he actually worked for the Democratic Party. He was a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Supporter of Hillary Clinton, which is scary in and of itself. And hang on one second here. All right, so I'm going to go back to 2006, where it is stated here that Moore, and this is from this is from 2016, from Pulpit and Pen. And now, before anybody freaks out and talk Pulpit and Pen, they're a fantastic website. And one of the things mm-hmm. that they did was they actually highlighted the articles that you can go to see where this is referenced from. So this isn't just him making something up. This is, you have the references to go back to and read where this was originally stated. But in 2006, Moore, speaking of Russell Moore, wrote an article in which he referred to Democratic Congressman Gene Taylor as the greatest public servant I've ever known. Moore worked as a staff person for the Democratic Congressman early in his career. In 2010, Moore donated $4,800 to Taylor's reelection campaign. Taylor twice voted for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House and voted for Pelosi in what she was deciding 82% of the time. Is it a Southern Baptist value to support a partisan of Nancy Pelosi? I mean, that's one strike with Moore. In 2011, Moore referred to Jesus as a so-called illegal immigrant.
What?
In an article where he advocated for a realistic means of providing a way to legal status for the millions of immigrants already here.
Are you kidding me?
Right. So is it a Southern Baptist value to reward or incentivize breaking the law? In June 2013, conservative pundit Eric Metaxas dissociated himself from the evangelical immigration table, the EIT. Upon his disassociation, Metaxas tweeted, "Did you know George Soros was behind the immigration thing I signed but then had my name taken off? Anything Soros is behind is worth quitting. So glad I've had my name removed from this. Russell Moore has associated the ERLC and the Southern Baptist Convention along with it with the EIT. Russell Moore is one of the heads of the EIT. Is it a Southern Baptist value to associate oneself with an ecumenical organization linked to liberal political activist George Soros?" In October 2014, Russell Moore advised attending the reception of a gay wedding as a way of expressing love for a homosexual friend or relative. Again, is it a Southern Baptist value to attend part which celebrates a homosexual union? In November 2014, Russell Moore and controversial pastor Rick Warren attended and spoke at a conference held at the Vatican intended to bolster the defense of traditional marriage. It is a Southern Baptist value to partner with the Pope of Rome. So let me say this real quick, just on that last statement that I made or read. There's no reason why a Protestant church should partner with, I don't care what the protest is or what they're trying to defend biblically, there is no reason why a Protestant church should ever partner with a Roman Catholic church where Protestants were protesting what the Roman Catholics teach. You just don't partner with someone that you're protesting against because what they're preaching and teaching in certain areas is heresy. So you just don't. Anyway, so they did that. Let me go just in 2015. Here's a good jumping point because this is where we're heading. In 2015, Russell Moore appointed Karen Swallow Pryor as a fellow of the ERLC. Pryor Moore stated, "I wish we had 1,000 more Karen Swallow Pryors in evangelicalism today. She models convictional kindness. She doesn't give any ground, but she also doesn't see people who disagree with her as her enemy." Pryor, as a contribution to Jim Wallace's pro-homosexual environmentalist magazine, Sojourners, Pryor once told New York Magazine that LGBT movement is much like the Christian community and that it draws from diverse backgrounds and moral beliefs. Pryor, who does hold that homosexual activity is sinful, was also a featured speaker at the Gay Christian Level Ground Festival.
What is gay Christian?
Yeah, exactly. It's an oxymoron. Pryor once remarked that calling abortion murder is unchristlike. It is, and then the question again is asked, is a Southern Baptist value to want 1,000 more Karen Swallow Pryors? So, what I'm going to do now is play a video that took place this past week where a question was asked to Russell Moore at the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm sorry, that was really loud. At the Southern Baptist Convention about this Revoice that's coming up. And maybe if we got time, I'll talk a little about Revoice. But Revoice is, man, what's the guy's name? I think it's something Sprinkle.
I'm sorry, I couldn't Sprinkle. Help but to laugh.
Anyway,
got Wigglesworth and now Sprinkle.
Right, right. So Sprinkle considers himself to be a gay celibate Christian.
What is that?
Yeah, so he's a gay celibate Christian who is holding this conference for churches to come together to understand how they can embrace homosexuals into the church.
I'm a murderer that celibate Christian.
Yeah. So again, I go back to what... Yeah, it's a good point. So again, I go back to what Paul stated. Are in Christ, are we Gentiles? Are we Jews? Are we slaves? Are we masters? No. We're none of those things now because we're in Christ. So by you constantly having to refer to yourself as gay, but celibate, you're still saying that you are a sin, that sin cannot die. I'm not saying you're not going to struggle with it, but there's no reason to title yourself.
You know what it sounds like to me is that there's no repentance. I mean, I'm not accusing these people saying that they haven't repented, but that's the way it comes across to me, because you're acknowledging yourself as this sin.
Right.
I mean, that's why I made the stupid joke, like I'm a murderer, celibate Christian. It doesn't add up with right. Scripture.
Right. And I'm sorry, it's driving me crazy. I'm going to go to Galatians 3:28 because I got tired of my horrible paraphrase. So Galatians 3:28 is where the verse is that I was just butchering. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So by us constantly labeling who and what we are, you're going against the very word of God. So very, very heartbreaking. I'm going to go to this video and let it play, and we may have a few words. I'll try not to interrupt it. But again, this is the gentleman. His recording looks like from his iPhone. When he's able to finally ask the question, it's going to be from his iPhone. So it's going to be a little hard to hear, but I'll turn it up all the way, and hopefully we'll be able to get what we can out of it. All right, here we go.
Probably just pointed at the monitor for some odd reason, but anyway, here's where it gets kind of diabolical. I go up and ask this question of Democrat Russell Moore about his ERLC research fellow, Dr. Karen Swallow Pryor, supporting and endorsing a conference called Revoice to celebrate their words, celebrate queer culture and LGBT Christians. Okay, so anyway, you'll see the video on his response. Go ahead and watch the video, and I'll get back to you afterward.
Work hard to protect all of those that Jesus loves. We must be the people who crucify.
Okay, so let me just set this up, because I know, again, Jeff spoke so eloquently earlier about how poor we are. So he's in the convention, and there's really not that many people in there listening to Russell Moore speak.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who you're hearing on the screen, and he's up on the screen, is Russell Moore. So he's about to say his little part, and then the very first question is going to go to this brother, Nathan Rager. And I'm just kind of giving you a setup here, because it is kind of hard to hear Russell Moore, but they are in a big convention center. Russell's on the screen talking, and then the question's going to start. So, okay, back to it. Sorry about that.
Conspiracy theories crucify our fear and our preferences, and instead bring the gospel to the world with clarity, conviction, and compassion. And that's what your Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission exists to do. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm happy to take any questions. Dr. Moore, are there any questions concerning the report? Microphone 7A, will you please ask your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. An ERCL fella is an advertised endorser of the Revoice conference that, in their words, not mine, celebrates queer culture and the plight of LGBT Christians. Will the ERLC disavow Revoice, and will Dr. Karen Swallow Pryor remain an ERLC fella?
If I can, will you state your name and your church, please? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. I am Nathan Rager with the People's Church in Clearwater, Florida.
Thank you. I don't know about the Revoice conference, but I do know this. Karen Swallow Pryor has committed herself to go anywhere and everywhere to stand up and tell the truth about God's word about human sexuality and call people, even those who disagree with her, to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ and obedience to his will. And in doing that, she has seen countless people come to faith in Jesus Christ and countless others strengthened and going forward. She's a professor at Liberty University, serving there for many years. I don't know anybody more committed to evangelism and committed to the inerrancy and truth of God's word and more committed to the biblical message that marriage is between a man and a woman and that sexual immorality leads not just to bad consequences, but to hell. Karen Swallow Pryor is someone who is not at the convention this year because she was literally hit by a bus a week ago and was wavering between the point of life and death. And thankfully, in God's great mercy, he has preserved her and preserved a voice who will be continually able to point to the witness of Jesus Christ. I think that we should pray for Karen Swallow Pryor as she recovers and thank God for the gospel that she opens.
Microphone 2A, will you please state your name, your church, and your question?
My name is Kyle Bierman. I'm a pastor and messenger from First Baptist Church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and co-host of Not Another Baptist Podcast. Right. Dr. Moore is the pastor of a church in an area.
So this guy now gets up. It's a new person asking a question, and he pretty much brags on Russell Moore and the tremendous job that he has done. Now, this is what's kind of weird. So after this question's asked, then he goes back to Nathan, and listen to what he says about the guy who handed him this question to ask. So listen to this.
Baptist Convention, my family.
All right, so here's where it gets diabolical. No conspiracy theorists. You know, just I smell a rat. I'm giving you the facts. Do what you will with them. When I challenged the funding of the ERLC, there were a whole line of people that had speeches prepared ready. And furthermore, when the great champion of the faith, Dr. Amir Kaner, head of the Committee on Committees, had made his recommendations for an appointment, and it ended up replacing a liberal ERLC trustee with a rock-rib conservative who would take a stand for God and country, people just rushed up with pre-prepared speeches. And, I mean, it was even, they were in the perfect places to make a scene over it. That's not conspiracy. It was obvious. Obvious. They were even reading off their cell phones and stuff. Come on. So anyway, also, you know, I'm glad Karen Swallow Pryor's doing better. I hope she repents of her errors, but I'm glad she's doing better. However, I will say this. It was not just last week that she was hit by a bus. I believe it was 3 weeks ago now, somewhere around that. And I forget if it was the day after or 2 days after. She's joking and making fun of herself on the Twitter when she was hit by the bus. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty dang old painful to be hit by a bus. But, I mean, the bouncing back and forth between life and death thing, he was obviously playing for dramatic effect. Notice that he said that he did not know anything about the Revoice conference, but defended Karen Swallow Pryor as a great champion of our biblical values, God's biblical values. Anyway, I come home and get on the Twitter machine and find out that she's going on the radio with a fellow named Philip Larson, who she thanks somebody for on her Twitter feed for vouching for him before she went on his show this evening at 8 p.m., saying that he loves his community. What is his community? I don't know if it's Des Moines, Iowa, or Chicago. It's kind of a weird thing to say his community. He's probably a homosexual. I couldn't find anything on it, but and anyway, further than that, he said he did not hear of the Revoice conference. I thought that was pretty fishy because there's a lot of buzz in religious circles about this. And then I come back and I'm looking through the Twitter machine some more and be danged. There's a fella, Leatherbrook or Leatherhead or something, who's I guess some kind of political operative in Tennessee who works for the ERLC, who had Thomas Littleton, who had handed me the question. Imagine that. He had Thomas Littleton escorted out of the property. According to Thomas Littleton, basically he had just very nicely asked him some questions, and this leatherhead fellow, whatever his name is, had him escorted out of the convention center by Dallas police, and apparently the whole way was following, trying.
All right, so I know that story is kind of hard to follow.
Can I?
Yep.
One thing.
Yep.
When he said leatherhead fellow, is he referring to somebody of like military?
No, no. I think the guy's name
is Leatherhead.
No, it's not. It's like, I don't know why I want to say it's like Leatherton or something.
That's right.
Like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm probably wrong on that.
But it's something in that.
So anyway, this this Leatherton fellow hands Nathan Rager this question to ask. Question gets asked. After the question's asked, that's when the other gentleman that he was just speaking of, who's part of the ERLC, had Leatherton removed from the Southern Baptist Convention for that question being asked. He wasn't arrested, but armed officers escorted him out. And he asked, he said, am I being arrested? He said, no, you're being removed.
Wow.
I know. So let me...
It makes no sense.
So it's almost like you have them trying to squash anything against the heads of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a really bad conspiracy theory movie, and I don't want us to come across this way. That's why. But so let me.
We're calling Alex Jones. InfoWars is getting a hold of this.
Right. So let me. I'm leaving Pulpit Pen. So people are like, well, this is that's all you. It's all you. You know. Reference.
We reference them because they're accurate, and they're fact-based.
So I don't know anything about, I'm just going to a different site who also references Karen Swallow Pryor, and it's called Cross Encounters with Tony Miano. I believe that's his name. But the reason why I'm reading this is because he takes a direct quote from Christianity Today from Karen Swallow Pryor. And it says, Karen Swallow Pryor is best known for what she said in her most recent Christianity Today article. And she said this, rallying for the defunding of Planned Parenthood isn't inflammatory rhetoric, it's political engagement. Videos depicting the self-damning words and actions of Planned Parenthood officials isn't yellow journalism, it's investigative reporting. Okay, so, right. On the other hand, referring to abortion providers as abortion ghouls, clinic volunteers and workers as death squirts, or blood workers, and women who obtain abortions as murderers is worse than inflammatory. It's unchristlike. Calling legal abortion murder when it isn't is to say what isn't true, at least in a civil context. And she is part of the ERLC. And we just heard Russell Moore defend this woman as if she is one of the apostles. And I mean, there's so many things that is wrong with this woman, and yet it's kind of just swept aside because Russell Moore, head of the ERLC, talks about how great she is. We're running out of time. We're coming up on an hour, and it's almost 10 o'clock, but I am looking at...
We're going to do it.
Right. If you go to... If you go to Pulpit Pen, type in Karen Swallow Pryor is wrong, and then type in the list. You can go down, and there is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 articles and two podcasts talking about all the things that Karen Swallow Pryor has said that doesn't line up with biblical Christianity. Now, of those 13, only one, two, three, only three of those are from pulpit and pen. The other one comes from American Vision, which is from Joel McDermott, and he's a theonomist, so I don't always agree with what he says, but when he resources stuff, then, you know, you can go to it. The other one is from Cross Encounters, what I just read. The other one is from Stephen Wedgeworth, the Calvinist International. Another one is from Ann Kennedy, Patheos. Another one is from Jesse Johnson, the Cripplegate. Another one is CBN News. Another one is from Michael Coughlin. Another one is from Jeremy Lundmark, host of Theology Matters. Another one is from Tim, I'm going to bash his name all over the place, Leighton. and it's from the Opinionated Layman. And then the other one is from Seth Dunn, Christian Commute. So that's all these different articles from numerous researchers talking about this woman, and yet here she is being praised. And probably the only reason why she wasn't at the Southern Baptist Convention is because, yeah, she was hit by a bus 3 weeks earlier. So, man, I'll finish with this. It just seems like there is something really strange and odd bubbling up with SBC, and you're seeing it by way of this social justice movement, to where it looks like the Southern Baptist Convention is no longer leaning to the right conservative outlook, worldview. It looks like it is starting to lean more to the left every single day.
Eventually, the Bible's just going to be left out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they barely use it now anyway, it seems like.
Well, and the thing is, with like the promotion of Beth Moore, and you see this with every... with every church that used to be conservative, it starts out with women being put in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happened to the Anglican Church. It's what happened to the Methodist Church. It's what happened to the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church USA. As soon as women start being, and look, I'm not bashing women, I'm just saying it's not biblical, so it shouldn't happen. And once you start going against the scripture, it's like a domino effect. And it just seems that's where it starts. So
yeah,
just a warning.
Do you think that we're going to start seeing division?
I think
more branching off from the SBC?
What I think will end up happening is I think your conservative churches will start dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have no more affiliation with the SBC. No more money will be sent to the SBC. They won't be funding, missions by way of the SBC. It'll probably be the best thing right now. If you're a conservative Southern Baptist church, I think the best thing for you to do is to hold on to your money, drop out of the convention, because... And I may be wrong, and I'm not saying this was prophetic. It just seems like that's the leaning that's taking place. When you have people supporting the MLK 50.
Which they shouldn't have.
Yep. Southern Baptist doing that. And now you have this whole Revoice thing, which Matt Chandler is endorsing.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Revoice? Is that what I said?
Revoice.
Okay, man. I didn't know if I said Revoice or Reverse, and I was like, what was that? And then, you know, you also had you have J.D. Greer, who's talking about putting women in leadership positions. Again, not being specific. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're afraid to say what you want to say because you know it's not biblical. And they'll come after you. Well, maybe they'll come after you. You'll probably be praised. And then you have these same people pushing for black liberation within the SBC. This constant... telling the church that we need to repent for our sins of slavery or racism. And
I was kind of thinking of that earlier today when I was driving, and it's kind of, you know, this is the way I see it. I mean, we welcome anyone, you know, at our church. There's no racial barriers here.
Yep.
You know, but we don't have a lot of different races here just because of our demographic the area.
Yeah.
Just like if a church is predominantly black or all black,
yep,
it's because of the demographic of the area.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that if I walked into a predominant black church, I would be welcomed.
Yeah.
Just like somebody that is from a predominantly black church, they come here, they will be welcomed in.
Yeah.
It's demographics, man. It's not racial.
Well, and I think, too, I think if you have a church that truly preaches the word and the understanding, and then they grasp the concept of Galatians and what I've been butchering this whole time when I try to paraphrase it, that, you know, that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Your sin nature is dying. Once you repent, it's over. There's no reason for us to constantly dwell
mm-hmm.
on this, and for you to be accepted by the culture by disobeying the scripture, man, that is a serious issue, and that's exactly what I'm seeing the SBC starting to do, and it's a sad day.
It really is. One thing I was going to bring up, I kind of drug this into the show every week the last few weeks, is the Kevin Wallace quote of the week.
Yep, yep.
I did not do one this week. No. I figured we would take a week off, but I do want to point out an article. We may have spoken about this article back when we did the full venue episode. It's on a website called the Coffee Break Collective.
No kidding. Huh.
And the article is on Tavern. It is a full in-depth article. It's from 2016. But it is a very good, resourceful article. And it's called "They Call Me the Son of the Morning," or "The Dangerous Theology of Venue Church."
Huh.
And I think the writer's name was Hamilton. I saw his name because down at the bottom of the article, people could like leave comments, and it just says Hamilton.
Okay.
as his name. But I mean, he really did his research on this. He actually went and sat in on a service at the Venue Church. He's got a couple of video clips, which we played both of them back then when we did the episode on Tavener. But I just wanted to point this out, that this was a really good reference if you want some in-depth, hardcore, like investigative review on the venue.
Right on.
This dude nailed it.
Right on. What's his name again? What's the name of it again?
The name of the article is called "They Call Me the Son of the Morning," or "The Dangerous Theology of Venue Church."
Okay, okay.
And it's on a website called the Coffee Break Collective.
Right on. Okay.
So I just wanted to give that dude a shout out for a really good article that
Sweet.
He did.
Sweet.
That's all I got. I'm giving Kevin a week off, man. I figured
it'd give him a break.
Yeah, I figured people are getting tired of hearing about Kevin Wallace for right now, but I mean, we do need to keep up with him.
Yep,
and Tavener Smith. I mean, they never
responded back to our emails either, did they?
Unfortunately not. I mean, I'm so surprised.
Yeah, we'll send them another one.
Yeah, I think, you know what we should do is, if you listen to the podcast,
yeah,
start emailing Kevin Wallace and Tavener Smith
every day. Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
Let's come together on this and just start hammering them with emails.
Yeah, and keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Yes, please.
We're not going to be name calling. We'll just keep it biblical.
So, let's shut it down and get out of here. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Word.
Guys, thanks for listening. Again, you can reach us on our Facebook page at Sonic Reformation. You can email us on sonicreformation@gmail.com. And spread the word and get all your friends emailing all these heretics around here. Let's start email bombing people, man. But like the pastor said, let's keep it clean, guys. Let's keep it clean.
Leave it to the pastor to take out the font.
All right, guys, until next time, take care.
All right, take it easy.